Hare Krishna to all the devotees at Baltimore. Please accept my humble obeisances. Vancha kalpataru bhayascha kripa sindhu bhayavacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Ananta koti vaishnavrinda ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Okay, so I'll take out the verse for today. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskrityan naranchaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayo mudiraye nashtapayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavate uttama sloke bhaktir bhavati naishiki Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So today we are taking a verse from Canto 5, Chapter 12, verse number 12. This is the conversation between Maharaj Rahuguna and Jada Bharat. Rahu ganeta tapasanayati na chejaya nirvanappa vanapanad grihadva na chandasanaiva jalagni surye Vina Mahat Padarajo Bhishekam. My dear King Rahuguna, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees, one cannot realize the absolute truth. One cannot realize the absolute truth simply by observing celibacy, brahmacharya, strictly following the rules and regulations of householder life. Leaving home as a vanaprastha, accepting sannyasa, or undergoing severe penances in winter by keeping oneself submerged in water or surrounding oneself in summer by fire and the scorching heat of the sun. There are many other processes to understand the absolute truth, but the absolute truth is only revealed to one who has attained the mercy of a great devotee. Purport by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Actual knowledge of transcendental bliss can be bestowed upon anyone by a pure devotee. Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto. One cannot attain the perfection of spiritual life simply by following the directions of Vedas. One has to approach a pure devotee. Anya bhilashita shunyam jnana karmadi anavritam. By the grace of such a devotee, one can understand the absolute truth, Krishna, and one's relationship with him. A materialistic person sometimes thinks that simply by executing pious activities and remaining at home, one can understand the absolute truth. That is denied in this verse. Nor can one understand the absolute truth simply by observing the rules and regulations of brahmacharya, celibacy. One only has to serve the pure devotee. That will help one understand the absolute truth without fail. So, my dear King Rahuguna, unless one has the opportunity to smear his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotee, one cannot realize the absolute truth. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Ajnana Anjana Shalakya Chakshuran Milatam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namah. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. So, I just picked up this verse on random. A couple of days ago, I was replying an email to one of the Matajis, who had an issue with her, some devotees in her community. So I was with my laptop typing, you know, telling her about the importance of devotee association, community, and I see a pop-up of WhatsApp on my laptop, Pradyumna Prabhu asking me, Mataji, what's the topic? And I just cut and paste. I said, okay, let's talk about this verse, which I was typing at that time, about the importance of devotee association and importance of the dust of the feet of a devotee. So, before I begin, I am not doing well from today afternoon, I developed some kind of an infection in my eyes. Some kind of a swelling is there on both sides and it's a little painful. So I thought to cancel the class, but then if you find lack of enthusiasm in my voice, you should forgive me, but I know devotees are very tolerant and they will just accept whatever little seva that I can render today. So while I was reading this verse, I was just contemplating that the greatest gift, I mean, we can read books and we can hear classes and we can answer this question that what is the greatest gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us, but something deep within our heart also, if we just sit and contemplate, what's the best gift that we got from Srila Prabhupada? I guess everybody will unanimously agree that I think the greatest gift is the association of devotees in our life. I was just thinking that every verse that is there, whether it's Nectar of Instruction or all the other important books and manuals given by the acharyas, if we want to implement them in our life, or you know, if we want to live these books, whom should we live it with? We need devotees. With whom should we talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, learn about Krishna, share about Krishna, give gifts, accept gifts, share our mind, dance together? With whom would we do that if there were no devotees? The greatest gift that Srila Prabhupada gave us is this beautiful community of ISKCON and the devotees of ISKCON, where we can together do Sankirtan, together we can move ahead in this journey. And yes, there are varieties of association that we get here, and it's not that all may be very positive, but all nourish us, whether negative or positive. So I want to start with a nice story that I heard, and it inspires me a lot. It's about the 10 Alvars of South India. So all those who are from South India, you must be well versed with this word Alvars. They are like our, like we have our Sada Goswamis, they have their Alvars. So all these 10 Alvars, they were on a journey and somewhere down south. And then in the middle of the night, they get stuck in the thunderstorm. So they take a shelter inside a hut. Now there is thunder and lightning. So they're all very afraid because this lightning is and the thunder is falling very close to their hut. So they're all very afraid now that, you know, the lightning may strike the hut and they may all die. Now they were all very learned. So then they all started speaking about Shastra. So then one of them suggested that, look, somebody of us must be destined to die today. Otherwise, why is the lightning falling so close to us? So instead of, you know, we all dying just because of one person's misfortune, why not we isolate that one person? So the rest of them said, how will we do that? How do I know who is destined to die? Is it fine? Let's play a game. 100 yards away, there is a tree. So let's go one by one. One person goes and touches the tree and comes back. Touches the tree and comes back. If you're destined to die, the lightning falls on you and you die. And the rest of the 9 are saved. So they said, fine, good. So one by one, Alvar came out from the hut, walked up to the tree, touched the tree and came back. So the first guy went. Nothing happened to him. The second guy went, nothing happened to him. The third, fourth, fifth, nothing happened. And every time they're coming back, they're so happy. Oh, it's not me, I'm saved. Now, the 9th Alvar, when he started walking from his hut to the tree, oh, he's shivering because there's just one more left. And finally he goes and he touches the tree and nothing happens to him and he comes back. And now everybody understands that this is the 10th one, you know, who is destined to die. So he's crying, don't do this to me, don't send me away, I don't want to go, you know. And then all of them are like, you have to, I mean, all of us did that, so how can you not go? You also have to go touch the tree and come back. So very reluctantly, he goes there, and then he touches the tree. And lo and behold, the moment he touches the tree, the lightning falls on the hut and all the nine people die. And this guy is saved. Now, all the while they thought, because of one person, all the nine have to die. But it was actually other way around. Because of that one person, all the other nine were saved. Sometimes this is what happens in our lives. Sometimes, you know, we are thinking, oh, because of this particular devotee, you know, I get disturbed in my bhajan. I get disturbed, or this person is a problem, or that person is a problem. But sometimes we don't know these devotees whom we think are making trouble for us or a problem are maybe actually responsible for our growth in Krishna consciousness. Because imagine you're always surrounded by favorable devotees. You would never have the report card of how much tolerance have you developed over the years, how much have you able to conquer, or how much have you able to subdue your anarthas, unless you have this kind of people in your life who may not be always very appreciative of you. And in fact, sometimes this kind of the devotees are the one who have the key to our door to Goloka. We have to relish in our life all kinds of association, because every association nourishes us. So when we take association with senior devotees, it nourishes, because we're just learning from them. And when we take association of those who are newer in Krishna consciousness than us, then that is also very nourishing, because you have that satisfaction of, you know, okay, I could help somebody, or I could say something which he didn't knew, and I could be, you know, part, I could play my part in bringing him up in Krishna consciousness. And when you associate with devotees who are on your level, then also there's so much rubbing happening to our anarthas. Like His Holiness Hanuman Prishak Maharaj, very nicely, you know, he gives this example that when there are a lot of different stones, pointed stones in one bag, then these stones, they just rub each other, and they keep rubbing each other and hitting and hurting each other. But in due course of time, they all become so soft and nice to be used in service of Krishna. So it's same thing with us when we get rubbed in all sides, you know, with different kinds of devotees. And actually, it's so challenging. It's like when you're driving a car on the national highway, it's very easy, because all the cars are maintaining so much distance between each other that there is very less question of accident. But the toughest is to drive a car in the Indian traffic, where all the cars are almost etched together. A little movement and you may just dump into somebody. So like that, when we are dealing with the devotees who are seniors, sannyasis, you know, they're very far off somewhere in some high level, so there's never an ego clash with them, or we never have any issue with them, because for us they're all pure devotees and we have no comparison. And we have no issue with the cars which are behind us coming slowly, because they're also new and we always have compassion for them. But the problem are those cars which are with us. They're always a question of, you know, we dumping into them or they dumping into us. So we need all kinds of association. Every association nourishes us in some or the other way. So today's verse, when Maharaj Rahaguna is being instructed by Jada Bharata, he makes a very important point. He said, during the summer you get surrounded by fire, all that austerity is not going to help. Even if you, in the winter, submerge yourself in the water, it will not help. You become sannyasi, it will not help. You become brahmachari, it will not help. He keeps on listing all those which, you know, they do it in the Himalayas. This is not going to help. Severe penances, whatever you do, it's not going to help. So what is going to help? He said, if somebody smears his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of a devotee, then he can realize the absolute truth. So we are so fortunate that in ISKCON we have ready-made association available of different devotees and whose mercy, and you know, we can take it upon us. So I thought today, in whatever the given time, we will recite a beautiful bhajan by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he is also talking about the same concept in a very beautiful Bengali lyrics. So we'll recite these verses and we'll discuss them. So this bhajan is called Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. So I'll recite this verse and then we'll discuss further. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Pula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premalati Karamula. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajananu Kula. This has been taken from Sharanagati. So we all know there are six stages of Sharanagati. So here the fifth stage is accepting whatever is favorable for Krishna consciousness and giving up which is unfavorable. So here he says that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. It's anukul, it's favorable for our devotional life. What is favorable? Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. Shuddha Bhakta, pure devotee. Charana Renu, dust of his lotus feet. So why do I need the dust of the lotus feet? Like, what way it serves my purpose? He's saying it's favorable. So favorable for what? So the point is, bhakti is not only action. It is action embedded with emotion. So it is not a kriya. It's not that I'm simply standing there, okay, fine, looking at the deity. I just took some prasad. I just move my leg here and there and I walk away and I can't call it bhakti. Unless and until I have an emotion, I have a taste. When I look at the deities, I'm like, yeah, Radha Damodar is standing in front of me. Or when I'm taking prasad, I'm like, yeah, Krishna is there in prasad. Or when I'm doing japa, yeah, Krishna is dancing on my tongue. But the thing is, this is all such far-fetched. We're not even getting that kind of a bhava. But the problem is, if there is no bhava and we simply continue the kriya, it won't last long. Because mind works in decades. It doesn't work in days. For many years you will feel, actually everything is going well with me and I'm fine actually, my bhakti is doing well. After decades, sometimes we just hear, you know, some devotee was 10 years, 15 years and then he's blooped. So we are just wondering, what happened? So what did happen? Because mind works in decades. Suddenly after, you know, mind is such a cheat. Suddenly after 10 years, 15 years, 20 years of bhakti, he'll say, okay, done. No, this is not working out for you. And it will convince you. So that means, if we want to continue bhakti, taste has to be there. Emotion has to be there. Taste for Krishna, taste for bhakti should be there. But taste is not available in market. And that's a problem. If it was on sale in liters and kg, and we would just go and purchase it. But it's not available in the market. But we want taste. So where do we get it? So here he says, Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premalati Karamula. If you want that taste, it's available. Somebody out there is distributing it, not selling it, freely distributing it, and that is a pure devotee. So why we want to take his dust is, when we take his dust, he gives us taste. If we get the taste, then our bhakti will not be only kriya, it will be now having bhava. And now when we're doing with bhava, we can stay stronger and longer. This is the whole purpose. So that is why it is favorable for our Krishna consciousness. Like Bhaktivinoda Thakur elsewhere also in other bhajan, he says, Krishna se tomar, Krishna dite paro, tumara shakati ache. Amito kangala, Krishna Krishna boli, daitava pache pache. Oh, Vaishnava Thakur, Krishna se tumar, Krishna is yours. Krishna dite paro, oh, you can give Krishna to anybody you want to. Amito kangala, I'm just a beggar, just walking behind you and requesting you, can you give me Krishna? Can you give me Krishna? Yeah. So devotees, pure devotees of the Lord, they just carrying Krishna in their heart. And because Krishna belongs to them, they can freely distribute Krishna, they can sell Krishna, they can do whatever. You know, in Gujarati language, there is this one very favorite bhajan of mine, which is sung by the gopis. I mean, not sung by gopis, it's by Narsi Mehta, where he's explaining that these gopis are so Krishna conscious, they're carrying Krishna with them, and they they are selling Krishna. So I'll just sing one line for you. Narasimha says, Bholi re bharavadana harine vechava chali. Bholi re bharavadana harine vechava chali. Sura sahasra gopino valo matake ma dhari. Sura sahasra gopino valo matake ma dhari. Bholi re bharavadana harine vechava chali. These gopis were so full of Krishna that when they actually went out to sell butter, ghee or milk, they didn't say take butter, they didn't say take milk. They said, do you want half kg Krishna, 1 kg Krishna, fresh Krishna, Krishna on sale. They're so much full of Krishna. But Narasimha Mehta says, the standard of devotees that they can actually sell Krishna because they have Krishna. They have Krishna. We can imitate them, but we don't have Krishna to sell. But they have Krishna. They can sell Krishna in the market. So Krishna se tumar Krishna dite paro. Devotees can give us that taste of Krishna bhakti. Even if we look into our own life, all of our lives, somewhere at some point there was some intervention of some devotee in our life because of which we became devotees today. I don't think anybody out there can say, I was sitting on the top of a hill one day and suddenly I realized I'm devotee of Krishna and I saw Krishna in my heart. Everybody will say, I got a book from somebody. Or they'll say, I was got prasadam from somebody, I got inspired by somebody. So, you see that in Bhagavatam, Dhruva Maharaj was inspired by Narad Muni, Prahlad Maharaj was inspired by Narad Muni, Vyasadev was inspired by Narad Muni, Mrigari was inspired by Narad Muni, and even in the 10th canto, we read this pastime of Usha and Anirudh, where Chitralekha is trying to enter inside the Antar Bhavan in Dwarka to somehow kidnap Anirudh, and she doesn't know how to get in. And then Narad Muni intervenes and he tells her how to get in. So almost everybody, even for her to enter the Antar Bhavan of the holy land of Dwarka, she also needed a guru. She also needed a devotee's intervention, Without devotee's intervention, it will not make sense. It will not make sense. We may try to do something, but unless until their intervention is there, we cannot get connected to Krishna. A couple of years ago, I went to this place called Srirangam. Now, before I tell you that incident, I have to tell you a story which inspired me a lot. It's about Ramanujacharya. So once it so happened, years ago, when Ramanujacharya was in Srirangam, he was just walking around with his disciples, and what he sees on his right hand side, he sees one man who's walking in a very weird way. He's not walking straight. He's walking backwards, looking at his wife and carrying an umbrella for her so that sun's glare doesn't come on her, and is going on staring at her and walking backways. So Ramanujacharya asked his disciples, why is he walking so weirdly? And they said, I don't know. Said, go and ask him. So they go and ask him that, why can't you walk straight? Why are you walking backwards, walking? So he said very, very funny thing. He said, my wife is very beautiful. And the most beautiful thing about my wife is her eyes. And I always want to 24 hours look at her eyes. If I walk straight, I'll miss to look at her. So that's why I walk backwards. I'll keep looking at her while I put the umbrella so that the glare doesn't disturb her. So when they came back and they told Guru Maharaj, he's crazy. Ramanujacharya was having a big smile, up to the ears. Really? He said like this? And they said, yeah, great, call him. I want to speak to him. And they said, Guru Maharaj, he's a lusty fellow. No, call him. I want to speak to him. So they said, great. So they call him. Hey, come. Our Guruji wants to speak to you. So he comes very reluctantly. Yes, what do you want, Yes. So then Ramanuja asks him again the same question. Why are you walking like this? So he again explains. Just now I told your disciple, now this is the reason. So Ramanuja says, you said your wife's eyes are very beautiful. I'll show you somebody whose eyes are more beautiful than your wife's eyes. And he starts laughing. He said, there's nobody in this world. She is the most beautiful. I said, okay, if I show you more beautiful eyes than her, what will you do? He said, great, challenge accepted. If you show me somebody who has more beautiful eyes than her, then I will become a servant for the rest of my life to that person. Ramanujacharya said, fine, challenge accepted. Tomorrow morning, meet me at 4:30. And he says, fine, great, I'll come at 4:30 and see you. Now, whole night, this man is not able to sleep. Who can be so beautiful than my wife? More beautiful eyes than her. And then he was thinking, okay, even if that person is beautiful, morning nobody looks beautiful. Early morning everybody looks ugly the moment they get up from the bed. Early morning 4:30 she looks beautiful. Finally he goes, you know, it's 4:25, he's there. Yeah, please take me, Swamiji. And Ramanuja holds his hand and takes him inside the sanctum sanctorium of Ranganath temple, Sri Rangam, and takes him inside and shows him Ranganath's eyes. Hey, look here. And when he looks at the eyes of Ranganath, he's like, oh my God, tears are flowing from his eyes. And he's like, so beautiful, the Lord is so beautiful. And he says, from today I become the servant of Ranganath. And then Ramanuja initiates him and he becomes the famous disciple of Ramanujacharya called Dhanurdas, one of the very famous and prominent disciples. So why was Ramanuja smiling? Because he thought, whatever the lust he has, I just have to convert that lust for his wife to love towards the Lord. And he did the job. Now when I heard this story, I was very inspired. Now when I went to Sri Rangam a couple of years ago, all the time I was thinking in my mind that when I go to Ranganath temple, I'm going to see the eyes of Ranganath. Eyes of Ranganath, because the eyes of Ranganath are very beautiful. Ramanuja said that and Dhanurdas became a devotee. So I was in the line with my husband, and you know how the temples are in South India. Oh, they will just, you know, push you. Quick, 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 you have to take darshan. Well, somehow, you know, I was inside the sanctum sanctorium, and I was looking at Ranganath's eyes. I was not looking anywhere because I want to see that eyes, you know. Now, I have an honest admission here. I looked at the eyes of Ranganath, but I didn't find them so beautiful. I didn't find them so beautiful. And by the time I could even think anything more, I was pushed out. My face became very small because I didn't even have proper darshan. So somehow that Vaishnava, you know, who was asking everybody to move, he saw me and he said, you want to have darshan again? And I said, yeah. So he said, come this side, I'll take you. And he took me again inside. This time I didn't look at the eyes. I looked at the rest of the body and the lotus feet of the Lord. I did whatever prayers I wanted to do and I quickly came out. Now while I was walking that down, you know, the temple road, I was just contemplating in my mind that, you know, Dhanurdas found those eyes so beautiful. Ramanuja said the eyes are beautiful. They were beautiful, but it was not that great for me. Why didn't I find them beautiful? Then, you know, like a eureka, suddenly a thought came in my mind. Oh, I understand why I don't find them beautiful, because I don't have the divine chakshu. Unless and until a sadhu like Ramanuja holds me by hand and tells me, look at the form of the Lord, how will I see it is beautiful? His heart is contaminated. The divine chakshu, the divine eyes to see the Lord is given by a devotee. When a pure devotee stands next to us, when a pure devotee shows us, now look, then we can look, because they lend us their eyes, which are anointed with love for Krishna. And when through their eyes we see Krishna, then we can see Krishna. Otherwise, we simply see a statue, marble statue, brass statue, what is the material? We can't see. And I thought, yeah, wow, that makes sense. Unless and until, you know, a devotee's intervention, his mercy, you can't understand this absolute truth. You can't appreciate the Lord. So that is why Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu. Unless and until we have the association of a devotee, we won't get taste of Krishna consciousness. Now, there is this word here, Renu, the dust. So, does it mean literally dust? I mean, like literally you just go and take the dust, or figuratively, what it actually means. So we can understand this in three levels. Literally also, we have to take the dust. Physically also, physically, literally, and figuratively also, there is a meaning behind this. Now coming to the literal part of it. Yeah, literally we have to take the dust. Literally, I mean like devotee standing and, you know, a devotee, and you take the dust particles which are stuck to their feet. Why? Why we do that? Because just like, you know, in when we were young, we read the story of Midas touch, the man with the golden touch. Whatever he touches becomes gold. Same thing with devotees. Whatever they touch or whatever comes in their association becomes spiritual. So even that dust which comes in the association of the devotee, that's pure dust. That's pure. That'll help us in our bhakti. That'll accelerate our Krishna consciousness. See, I heard one very, very beautiful pastime in Pandharpur from the local devotees many years ago when I had visited on Ashada Ekadashi Day. We had a very beautiful darshan. So they were telling me this very nice pastime of a devotee lady called Janabai. I don't know if you've heard about Janabai. She's a devotee of Vitthalnath. So she was a poor lady and she used to make cow dung cakes. So what happened? She was so pure devotee, every time reciting the name of Vitthal. So as she makes the cakes, cow dung cakes, she keeps saying, Vitthal, Vitthal, Vitthal. And she keeps, you know, making the cakes and putting them on the wall. Now, she was so engrossed in the Lord that there was another cunning lady, a wicked lady, who was using another wall next to her. She was also making cow dung cakes. So what she did is, in the evening, when the cakes are dried and it's time to collect them, put them back in the basket. When Janabai is just putting them and, you know, Vitthal, Vitthal, she's putting back. This lady takes those cakes from her basket and starts filling her basket. At the end, Janabai sees there are no cow dung cakes. You know, what happened? What, where? The, and she was just walking away. So Janabai stops her. Hey, these are my cakes. What are you doing? So she says, what is the proof? These are mine. I have made them. So finally, both of them, they go to the local leader because he has to sort it out whose cow dung cakes they are. So when they go to him, he has a smile on his face. He said, oh, this is so simple to be sorted out. I can sort it out in 1 minute. So how is that? He said, everybody in the town of Pandharpur knows that Janabai is a devotee of Vitthal. And every time that she is making those cow dung cakes, she is reciting the name of Vitthal. So every cow dung cake that is made by Janabai, if you put it on your ears, next to your ears, every cake, the sound comes out, Vitthal, Vitthal, Vitthal. So it's very simple. Put all the cow dung cakes here. I'll keep hearing the sound. Whichever cow dung cake makes the sound of Vitthal are Janabai's. Whichever doesn't make the sound are yours. And that's how he simply differentiates between the two cow dung cakes. And I thought that was so beautiful. We are literally, practically seeing it. Anything touched by a pure devotee also becomes pure. So literally, yes, we take the dust from the feet of the devotee. You see, even in Ramanuja's life, there is this very beautiful pastime of how Ramanuja was traveling and preaching. So he's going from town to town and village to village. And it so happens that wherever he goes, all of them come for hearing the class, and it's all so beautiful. But in one particular village when he went, nobody turned up for the class. So he was wondering, you know, what kind of materialistic people, nobody even came for the evening class, what to do? So the disciple says, Guru Maharaj, let's leave this village, we'll go to the next village. So Ramanuja said, no, just go and find out what is the source of the water that these villagers use for their drinking or whatever, bathing. What is the source? Go and find out. There must be some river, right? So they went and found out. Yeah, Guruji, we know which river they are using the water, water reservoir. And then Ramanuja tells his disciple, go and wash your feet in that water and come back. So disciple is like, what? He said, go and wash your feet in that water and come back, that's all. So he goes and washes his feet and comes back. Next day evening, when Ramanuja again announces for the class, his evening class, the whole place is full of people and everybody is there to attend the class. The disciples are wondering, what happened in one day, Guruji? Why everybody's mind changed? So Ramanuja said, nothing, simple. Because I asked you to wash your feet, the dust from your feet has mixed with that water and everybody's consciousness got purified. So now their heart has, you know, become open to spiritual message, to receive spiritual message. So it says in the Chaitanya Charitamritam also, Bhakta Pada Dhuliyar Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Vasesatina Mahabal. Three strands. Bhakta Pada Dhuliyar Bhakta Pada Jal Bhakta Bhukta Avasesha. The water from the washing of the feet of the devotees and the remnants of the devotees, Bhakta Pada Dhuli, Bhakta Pada Jala, and the dust of the devotees' feet. Dust and water and prasadam. These three, Teen Mahabal, these are the three strengths. If somebody gets those remnants, then their journey of spiritual life becomes very swift. Becomes very swift. So, this is the line. Shuddha Bhakata Charana Renu Bhajana Anukula. And then says, Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premi Latikara Mula. So literally also one has to take the dust of the lotus feet, and physically what it does is, when we actually go out there and we take the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees, it's not only about the dust. When you actually take that dust, something else also happens to you, and that is one becomes very humble. Right? Literally, physically, when you are doing it, you're paying obeisances to somebody and you're becoming so humble as to take their dust on their feet. What you're actually doing is, you're not only putting that dust on your head, you're actually bathing your false ego with that dust. So what is actually getting purified is not only your body, your ego, your subtle body. Because the problem is, this body is not a big tension. We are anyway going to leave it here and go. The subtle body we are going to carry with us. And that is of mind, ego and intelligence. And that is making us take birth in this, you know, life after life. So basically the whole work has to be done on the ego only, which is a big disturbance. And if this ego is bathed nicely with the dust from the feet of the devotees, all that false ego is shattered, then our work becomes easy. So when somebody is taking the dust from the feet of the devotee and bathing the ego, because instantly you become humble, you know, because it's taking a very humble position, touching somebody's feet and all. So then that concept, false concept that I'm the boss, I'm the enjoyer, I'm this, I'm that, will immediately melt away. And one becomes humble, and a humble heart is a happy heart, and it's a grateful heart. So then the dust of the feet of the devotee is a chemical. You know, like, you know, I'm in Vizag, Vishakhapatnam, and we are right on the beach. You know, everything gets rusted, the steel railing and just about everything. But there's a very nice chemical available in the market. When we use that, all the rust goes away. And the dust of the feet of the devotee is that chemical. With that chemical, the rust of our heart can be dissolved and the heart will become shining again. Like that, like nice steel. We just did the cleaning process a few days ago. And then it becomes shining. So literally, physically we do it. And what it means figuratively, what do you mean by dust of the feet of the devotee? What you mean by that basically is, you take the instructions of the devotees as your heart and soul. You see, in Srimad Bhagavatam, this has been mentioned in so many occasions by so many prominent personalities. Even Prahlad Maharaj in Canto 7, Chapter 5, verse number 32, when he's sitting on the lap of his father, Hiranyakashipu, he tells, "My dear father, unless and until somebody takes the dust of the feet of the devotee of the Lord on their head, they cannot get attachment to Krishna." He says that, Prahlad Maharaj says that. Elsewhere you see in Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.23, it says that if somebody has not received the dust from the feet of the Lord on their body, then their body is as good as a dead body. So like that, we see in so many places in Srimad Bhagavatam also this is mentioned. So figuratively, by the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee, what we mean is to take their instructions as our heart and soul. Whatever they say, we follow sincerely. That's what it means. Because if we limit the meaning of this verse today only to the literal sense of it, many of us out there may think, okay, this is very simple. I don't have to do anything whole day. I can sit and wait for some devotee, take the dust and keep taking dust. Prabhu, can you do some seva? No, I'm taking the dust from, you know, no. It means that you take the instructions of the devotees. Yeah. Just like, you know, Anand Talwar, you know, he one of the prominent disciples of Ramanujacharya. When Ramanujacharya was trying to serve the Lord Balaji on the hills, those days there was so dense jungle, dense forest, that nobody wanted to do service there. But Anand Talwar was an old man, and he had a wife who was pregnant, and he said, I will do the service. So he was living in a hut on the top of the hill, and there he was growing nice flowers for the Lord. And to maintain that whole garden, he had to dig the garden every day, and he was doing it alone with his wife. So at one point, Balaji, Lord Venkateshwara, he comes as a small little boy and he asks Anand Talwar, can I help you, old man? You know, you're doing it all alone. And Anand Talwar says, no. This is seva given by my guru to me. I don't want to share it with anybody. You please go. And the little boy comes again next day. And again, Anand Talwar explains to him, look, my little boy, maybe you don't know. Seva from guru comes when for many, many lifetimes you have done lot of good karma, then you get that chance to do some seva. So how can I just give it to you? I'm an old man, you are a young boy, you will later on get so many service. Don't take away my service, this is my service, I want to do it, don't come back again. Again, third time Lord comes, and this time Anand Talwar gets very upset. Don't you dare come again, I'm telling you, don't disturb me, I'm doing my service. So Lord is very naughty. He goes to Anand Talwar's wife, said, mother, can I help you? And she says, look, my husband is, you know, irate. He gets very angry. Go away, don't come here. And then he says, mother, you are, you know, you are pregnant, and with lot of difficulty you are carrying that whole basket full of, you know, heavy mud. Let me help you. She says, if my husband comes to know, he'll get angry. A little boy says, nothing to worry, I'll hide behind the tree. You just get the basket up to the tree. From here I'll run and throw the dust and dirt and come back. So now Anand Talwar, he could figure it out. Because after some time he saw his wife is coming back very quickly after throwing the dust. How come she's coming back so quickly, you know? It takes time for her to take the whole thing up there. Then he follows her. And then he sees, oh, this little boy is helping her. Now he gets so upset. He has his crowbar with which he was digging, you know. And out of anger, he throws the crowbar. And Lord gets hurt on his chin and blood is oozing out. And he runs away. And next day morning, when Anand Talwar is offering garland to the Lord, he says, blood is oozing out. He sees that. And then immediately puts some sandal. Now the whole point is, why I'm telling this story is, how he has taken the instruction of his guru as his heart and soul, without making any excuses. So taking the dust from the feet of the Lord is also taking the instructions of the Vaishnavas or spiritual master as our heart and soul. So coming to the second line, Bhakata Seva, it's not only taking the dust, you do Seva also, Parama Siddhi Premalatikara Mula. When you do Seva for the devotees of the Lord, basically what you are doing is something very selfish. When we do Seva to them, what basically we are doing is we are pouring water in the root of our creeper. So when we are doing seva, you are putting water to the our bhakti creeper, and every time that we are doing seva, our bhakti is growing and growing. And that is the secret what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is telling in his bhajan. Bhakti, lata will grow because it's getting nourished when we do service, right? So, I'll tell you one more very beautiful story. Ramanuja, he had one disciple called Ramdas. And this Ramdas was a very innocent boy, and his service was of taking care of Ramanuja's personal needs, washing his clothes, making his prasadam ready and all. And he was not a scholarly type of disciple. So Ramanuja once was giving like a seminar to 300 and odd most exalted sannyasi disciples, teaching them the nuances of Sanskrit and a very, very philosophical class full of tattva darshan. So for a couple of days it went. And all these sannyasi disciples in the evening, they used to make fun of this Ramdas. Because Ramdas is a simple guy, washing clothes, singing something, bhajan, bank of the river, comes back and makes prasadam for his guru. So one day in the mid-afternoon, when all the disciples had arrived and assembled for the class, they're all sitting. So then they go and call Ramanuja. Guru Maharaj, everybody's ready. Shall we begin our afternoon session? So Ramanuja says, where is Ramdas? Call him. Let him also come and attend the session. So they all, you know, smile. Ramdas cannot understand this session, Guruji. We are only finding it so difficult, you know. The level you are speaking is simple. Ramanuja says, no talking. Go and call Ramdas. Until Ramdas comes, I'm not starting today's class. So they all search, where is this Ramdas fellow? The Ramdas is somewhere near the river, is washing clothes. Hey, Ramdas, come here. For what? You have to come and attend today's Sanskrit class. And he said, me? I don't understand the word of it. No, that's all that Guru Maharaj called you. So he washes his hands and immediately comes and he attends. He is ready, sitting in the session. So Ramanuja walks in and he says, I have a throat issue today. So Ramdas will be giving the class today. And the whole class burst with laughter. Ramdas will be giving class today. That's funny. He'll understand or not was an issue. He giving class is something funny. So they think it's some kind of a joke or something. And Ramanuja is serious, pretty grave. He said, Ramdas will be giving. And then Ramdas comes in, Guru Maharaj, very honestly, I don't know a word. What should I speak? And Ramanuja is like, no, speak whatever you know, you speak. That's all right, you speak. And then Ramdas starts, Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate karam yat kripatam aham vande shri guru dinatarinam. So he just takes the blessings of his guru, opens his mouth, and he speaks amazing. It's flowing like as if Mother Saraswati is sitting on his tongue. And he speaks in Sanskrit and fluent, and he talks, and everybody is mesmerized and glued to their seat. The time is flying and some things are so difficult for them to even digest, you know. So then all are amazed, you know, how this happened. So that is Vaishnav Kripa and that is Guru Kripa. So second line here, Bhakata Seva Parama Siddhi Premalatikara Mula. So somebody is doing service to the Vaishnavas, to a Shuddha Bhakta, to pure devotees. Then all the Siddhis will come just like that, just like Pangum Langayate Girim. A dumb person will start talking, a handicapped person will start climbing mountain. When we serve, that mercy comes to us. Of course, there is again, when we hear this kind of stories, this kind of pastimes or kathas, leelas, then we are tempted, oh, that means Vapu Seva is more powerful than Vani Seva. That means we just go and look out for some sadhu and just serve him, maybe wash his clothes, cook for him, and that looks like an easy way to back home, back to Godhead. Why all this, you know, studying Bhagavatam, Bhakti Shastri, disciple course, chanting is simple ways, go and serve some devotee. But the problem is, it definitely is easy. Definitely Vapu Seva is more glorious, and definitely Vapu Seva is more like you are going in a flight back home, back to Godhead, and those who are bereft of Vapu Seva may be going in train. But the problem with Vapu Seva is, you may have heard about people who have survived car accidents, who have survived train accidents, but you will rarely hear about somebody who survived a flight crash. Because when you fall from up there, very less chances of survival. So this is a risk also. When you get too close to the guru or too close to the senior Vaishnava, you take them very easily, and they become, because you become too friendly, and familiarity breeds contempt, and you start thinking of them as a normal people and you may make offense. Because these pure devotees are like those high voltage. So much energy is coming out from them that with a high voltage you need to have a thick wire. If you have a thin wire, it will get burnt. So what is that thick wire? Is faith. Lot of faith. Very, very good sadhana, surrender. Otherwise the wire will get burnt and you start making offenses. And the fall down will be also as fast as the growth when you personally associate with Vaishnavas. Like Chanakya Niti says, the three things you need to maintain proper distance. Agni, fire, guru. You maintain proper distance from fire, guru and the king. Why? He says when you are very far from the fire, cooking will not happen. Because there is no heat coming. If you are very close to the fire, you will get burnt. So maintain proper distance. With guru, if you get too close, problem. You will make a lot of offenses. You will even forget your basic etiquettes, paying obeisances, because now every day you are spending so many hours together, you lose respect. So too close, problem. Too far, problem. You will be in Maya. So proper distance. With Guru, proper distance. With Agni, proper distance. With the king, proper distance. Become too close to the king and you start joking with him, one day the fellow may get angry and put you in jail. You become too far from the king, then you won't get justice. Just maintain the right distance. So one has to be so careful. So it's not that after hearing that we stop associating, but we associate by properly equipping ourselves in proper consciousness. So Vapu Seva or Vani Seva, both are glorious, but Seva should be done. Unless and until we do Seva, then there is no hope. See, if you see in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 5, I think verse number 2, the conversation between Rishabdev and his sons. And there Rishabdev mentions a very beautiful point. He says, Mahat Seva Dwaram Ahur Vimuktas. If you are serving the devotees of the Lord, the door of liberation is open to you when you associate and serve the devotees of the Lord. Opposite to that, in the same sloka he says, but if you associate with those who are attached to materialistic activities, then the door of hell is open to you. So both the doors are open. The door of hell is open and the door of liberation is open. It's up to you. With whom are you taking association and whom are you serving? Both the doors are ready for you. So Mahat Seva. Mahat Seva. Rishabdev is telling, guiding his sons, do Mahat Seva. So Mahat means what? Whose Seva? Mahatma Seva. Mahatma means devotee of the Lord. And then in that same sloka, he will also explain who is Mahatma. This is a very important point. Because we may say, all right, class is good. We have to do service and we have to take the dust of the lotus feet of the devotee or Mahatma, whatever. So now, who is Mahatma? How do we know who is Mahatma? So Rishabdev clarifies who is Mahatma. In that same sloka, he mentions 6 points. Who is Mahatma? He said Mahatma means, or pure devotee means, one who is samachitta. Samachitta. Equal. Equipoised. In every situation. Equal to all. He's samachitta. He's prashanta. Peaceful. He's so peaceful. When somebody associates with them, they also become peaceful. So he's samachitta, he's prashanta, peaceful, and he's vimanyavaha. Vimanyavaha means he's devoid of anger, he's full of patience, ready to give Krishna consciousness to all, ready to explain 10 times, ready to come to that level of, you know, that other devotee, and again repeat the concept till the person understands, full of patience, doesn't get angry. I told you 100 times, still you are taking onion garlic, still you have not stopped tea and coffee, I have no use of preaching to you, no. Again patience, that's all right, at least now you try. So they are full of patience, vimanyavaha, prashantaha, samachittaha, suhridaha, suhrida, they are well-wishers. See, there may be so many learned devotees, but they may not be well-wisher, or rather, they may not be interested in your spiritual life. They know the philosophy and they are following it, but they don't want to waste their time in making you devotee because they are busy. But we are talking about here somebody who is a well-wisher. He wants to help everybody. He wants to help the others also. Okay, I'm enjoying Krishna consciousness and I also want you to come with me on this path. So, samachitta, vimanyavaha, prashantaha, suhrida, sadhava. He has all the good qualities. What are the good qualities? Karunika, you know, is a tolerant, he's humble, all those good qualities of a sadhu. And he is a mahatma. Mahatma also means, other meaning is, he's learned. He knows scriptures. You know, it's not that his faith is sentimental. He has a knowledge of scriptures and the same thing he shares. So these are the qualities of Mahatma. This is the qualities of a devotee. And if we serve a devotee and we take the dust from the lotus feet of devotee, then our Krishna consciousness will be accelerated. Now, the question will be, but I don't find anybody like this in my life. So what should I do? I don't find any devotees, you know, pure devotee, but I'm not finding pure devotee. So what? I'm seeing that they all also have vices and they're also on the same level and they are also having their own difficulties. And so I don't have that feeling. I don't think they're pure devotees. So what should I do? Shall I go for in a search in a forest for a pure devotee? Or because all this thing, what we are talking, all these verses are applicable to pure devotee. So where do I get a pure devotee? The thing is, what we can simply do is, serve a devotee who is above us. Let's say he's not a pure devotee, okay? But he is serving a devotee above him. Let's say he's also not a pure devotee. But he is serving a devotee above him. Ultimately, it is connected to Prabhupada. And we all believe Prabhupada is a pure devotee. And we are convinced about that. There is no controversy. So, we are serving some devotee. And that devotee is serving some devotee. And that devotee is serving Prabhupada. And Prabhupada is connected to Krishna. So, we are serving pure devotee. That's it. Because that line. So now we are all satisfied. Otherwise we are worried. Pure devotee, dust of the feet of the pure devotee. Where do I get it? See, it's like a telescope. You know, the more the lenses you put in between, the more the star is closer. You put one lens, it will be little close. Another lens, more close. Another lens, more close. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Gopi Pada, what is that? Dasa Dasa Anudasa. That is why we don't want to become das. We don't want to become das. We want to become dasa dasa anudasa. Because the more the lens, Krishna will be more closer. So the more the devotee is between us and Krishna, the more closer we are to Krishna. So one tension is over. No need of searching for pure devotee. Whoever the devotee next to us, above us, near us, start serving them and taking their blessings. And they are serving Prabhupada. In this way, we are all getting connected. So, I think I've already gone over time. So, I would like to conclude here. So, the takeaway lesson is that we try and serve the devotees, whoever is available. Because the whole beautiful point is, no matter what level of spiritual life they are in, they are convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and that's great. And they are taking Krishna Prasad, and they are wearing Kanti, and they are having Vaishnav Tilak, and they are also taken up this journey of Krishna consciousness. And they also have the same goal, and we are all in the same boat, and the same captain. And that's it. Let's serve each other, and let's hold each other's hand, because the journey is a little tough. The more we are, the more easy it will become. Holding each other's hand, sharing each other's experience. Because somebody may be above us and he'll share his experience. It's going to be a little rocky up here. Carry your torch, carry a little more water. And we'll help the others who are below us by telling them, okay, I'm here and this is what difficulties I faced. So you be careful. And in this way, holding each other's hand from down and above and up and below, we can all go back home, back to Godhead, happily. Thank you so much, dear devotees. I'll end it here. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna.
Sab Krishna, Krishna, Krishna.